The Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Adrian, will you please call the roll?
Chair Fun?
Here.
Vice Chair Bill?
Here.
Representative Lupus?
Here.
Andrade?
Here.
Bartleman?
Here.
Bush? Hawkins?
Here.
Maney?
Here.
McLean?
Here.
Roach?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Trunell?
Here.
Valdez?
Present.
Willite?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
The 14 have a quorum, sir.
All right, we have a quorum. Members, as always, please make sure all electronic devices are turned off or are on vibrate. I've already had a few complaints that we're meeting during lunch, so members, we might be able to help with that. We have a fairly short agenda today. We're going to start with our consent agenda, which includes 46 appropriations project bills, and then move on to three general bills, which I don't expect to take a huge amount of time. Let's take up the consent agenda first. Members, please remember we vote once on the agenda in its entirety. The public is welcome to testify on any of the bills listed on the consent agenda. We will not take up question, debate, and vote on each of the bills individually. Instead, we will be in questions and debate only once. Remember, you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form with Adrian before the vote. Members, in your packet under the first tab is a chart listing the 54 appropriation project bills for today. With that said, are there any questions on these 54? Okay, seeing none, we have some requests for public testimony. We have Jasmine Henderson representing the City of Orlando on HB 3455. Okay, they wave in support. We have Wendy Dodge from Polk County Public Schools on HB 3073, Fort Meade Community Athletic Courts, waving in support. We have Jasmine Henderson from the City of Orlando on HB 4233. I feel like I may have already said that one, but waving in support. Derek McGee, representing Teen Leaders of America on HB 4689, Certified Teens, waving in support. And we have Royal King with Omega Lamplighters on HB 9015, and they are a proponent. You're recognized.
Good morning. My name is Royal King. I am the executive director for the Omega Lamplighters, a young men's mentoring program and nonprofit started here in Tallahassee, Florida. We've been serving youth for the last 12 years.
Can you turn your mic on?
Oh.
There's like your mom is watching at home, and she will want to hear what you have to say. I think so, yeah. Can you just tap it so we can see if it... Okay, it's working.
Okay. Sorry about that. Again, good morning. My name is Royal King. I'm the executive director for the Omega Lamplighters, a young men's mentoring program here in Tallahassee, Florida, for young males ages 8 to 18. We service at-risk youth on the principles of leadership, academics, maturity, and perseverance. For the last 12 years, we've been providing our services for the last 6 months at our lighthouse, where leaders are born and royalty is revealed. We provide after-school mentoring programs. We teach life skills, career development, and we are a crime prevention program. The funding request will allow us to service more youth. We are capped where we are at 200, but the funding will allow us to reach 600 youth, and we will provide, again, continued mentoring support and family intervention. Thank you.
Thank you for being here today. All right, there's no other additional public debate, public testimony. Is there any debate? Okay, seeing none, before I call the vote on the consent agenda, Adrian, are there any nay vote forms?
No.
There are not. So, Adrian, will you please call the roll on the consent agenda? Remember, a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for every bill on the consent agenda.
Chair Fon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bill?
Yes.
Representative Lupus?
Yes.
Andrade?
Yes.
Bartleman? Bush? Hawkins?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunell?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Willite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Agreeable, sir.
Okay, members, by your vote, all of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. So, members, we have three policy bills that we are going to take up today. We will start with Representative Trabulsi on CS for HB 447, the required instruction in the history of African Americans by Rep. Trabulsi. Rep. Trabulsi, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Fine, and Ranking Member Wilhite. I believe that Representative Bell is not with us now. House Bill 447 supports teachers' efforts to include local Florida African American history through cemeteries to address standards that already exist in American history, world history, geography, and civics. Increase student participatory citizenship by engaging students in local community history. Also honors, preserves, and protects local African American cemeteries as sites of education for African American history by incorporating local cemetery history in social studies education. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, there are no amendments. Are there any questions on the bill? Yes, Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me just get to the bill here. Just for the record, I want to say this does not make me uncomfortable talking about this topic either. But I had a question for you on line 28, and then again, it's on line 32, where it says it encourages. How can we make that stronger than the word encourage? I think that leaves a lot open for interpretation. There's been a lot of discussion around our topics in our schools about what teachers are teaching and interpretation. And encourages just means, what if they don't do that? Is there any kind of penalties if they don't teach this?
Thank you.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative. No, there is no penalty for not incorporating this into their curriculum. It is simply a suggestion to add it into their curriculum.
Okay, thank you.
You have a follow-up? Are you good? Okay. Any additional questions? Okay, seeing none, we do have one appearance card. Brita Lincoln with the Florida Parent Teacher Association wishes to speak in favor of the bill. Not here, so she waves in support. All right, seeing no one else wishing to testify on the bill, is there any debate?
Debate, Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry? You're recognized, Rep. Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to know that someone is working on making sure the students know the history of African American. It is very important to me to know that it's a possibility that this will be taught. I understand that several things is actually now being carved out, but being open-minded and willing to work and understand that how important everyone's history is to them is important to me, and I want to say thank you. When we talk about the cemeteries, when there's a problem with African-American cemetery right now, it seems like everybody's hands off. So I want to make sure that I am in tune, and I will continue to follow you with this bill and make sure that that's included and continue to be on the front for those that look like me to have the opportunity to know their history. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in debate? Yes, Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for this, because as I ask about why, it's just encouraged. I mean, all history should be taught. Some of it may be uncomfortable. Some of it may not be nice to talk about, but all history can be taught. It is what has got us where we are, and hopefully it leads us to a better place in the future because we recognize what has gone wrong and how we should do better as a country. So I appreciate this, and thank you for bringing this forward to make sure that we talk about all history in our schools and teach our future leaders about how we should do better as a country and a community. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in debate? I have a couple comments. First, I apparently got a promotion, so I got to switch the things here. Seriously, this is our first policy bill that we have heard this session in this committee, and there's a reason it is this bill. And it is because it is the teaching of our history that is important. You know, what has made America great for the 200 plus years that we've existed is we have made many mistakes as a country, but we always try to correct them. And it is not about the mistakes, it is about the efforts that have made to fix them. And this is just one such example. And I agree with Rep. Wilhite, we do need to teach as much history as possible. And bills like this remind us that there's a difference between teaching history and promoting ideology. And when we take time in the classroom promoting ideology, what we end up doing is crowding out history. And we need to teach our history, both the good and the bad, because if we don't learn it, then we are doomed to repeat it. So I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. And make no mistake, there's a reason this is the first bill we're hearing this session. With that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your feedback. I appreciate that. Representative, I actually have some handouts that I'm happy to send to you that have some QR codes that identify each of the counties in the state that have identifiable abandoned African-American cemeteries. Some may be actually in your district. So I'm happy to share those with any of you. I can send it to the committee if you like, because it has some really great information. And I also believe that this should be stronger and not just be a suggestion. We need to bring these African-American studies to our students. You know, African-American history, there's so much of a gap. You know, we think of slavery, we think of Rosa Parks, we think of Martin Luther King, because that's what we teach, right? But there are so many other stories that need to be told. And people that are great heroes that have been buried in those cemeteries, who have lost their souls and have lost their voices, and it's up to us to resurrect those and teach these good lessons to our students and our children, and hopefully it will trickle up the chain to parents, and we can all have a better appreciation for the lives before us. And with that, I close.
Rep. Trabulsi, having closed on the bill, Adrian, please call the roll.
Chair Fahn?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bell?
Yes.
Representative Alupis?
Yes.
Andrade?
Yes.
Bartleman? Bush? Hawkins?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Willhite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
13 yeas, the bill is favorable, sir.
All right, members, by your vote, HB 447 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll go eat some catfish for y'all now.
All right, remember that. We got two more. It'll all be gone. All right, next up, we're going to have, next up, we're going to have HB 1199, Funding for School Readiness Program by Representative Grawl with her giant notebook over there. You don't need to give us all that detail as we go through this. I know I'm nervous, too, because I just heard about catfish, and then I see the big notebook. Representative Grawl, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Fine. Thank you, committee, for hearing this bill today. Florida's School Readiness Program is designed to provide children at greatest risk of school failure with enriching early learning opportunities that prepare them for kindergarten and early grade success. Florida has among the lowest payment rates in the nation, undermining the ability of the child care industry to provide quality early learning programs. With a clear definition of quality now in law and an influx of federal funding, there is an opportunity to contemplate a funding distribution formula that directs funds to early learning coalitions where most needed and factors in critical data such as eligible population and the cost of care are considered. The initial funding allocations of the school readiness program enacted in 1999 were based largely on funding requests submitted by the then newly formed early learning coalitions. The methodology for allocating funds has remained relatively constant and to date has not been based on any identifiable data indicators of need or cost. This bill addresses that. There is an amendment.
There is, but before we get to that, are there any questions on the original bill? On the original bill, we're going to get to the amendment and then the bill is amended. But if you've got questions on the original bill, did you, Rep. Williams?
Hold on, let me see what the amendment. Go ahead. I'll wait until the amendment.
Okay.
I read. Thank you.
All right, there is one amendment, and Rep. Grawl, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 510933.
Thank you. The amendment directs the Division of Early Learning to provide information to the conference principals of the Early Learning Estimating Conference so they can develop school readiness cost of care figures. Data for the cost of care will consist of prior school readiness direct service expenditures, as well as from child care providers who provide information to the statewide child care and resource referral network. Finally, the amendment requires the Early Learning Programs Estimating Conference to provide the official cost of care information to the legislature at least 90 days before the scheduled annual legislative session, and this timeline would allow the estimating conference to provide information to the legislature in time for us to make informed funding decisions with the most up-to-date information. That is the amendment.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Rep. Williams, you're recognized.
Question. On line 32 through line 34, all cost savings and all revenue received through the mandatory sliding scale shall be used to increase the number of children served. Will this cover the number of children that we have on the waiting list, or this is something totally different?
Rep. Grawl, you're recognized.
Thank you, and I believe that, that is in the bill and was not addressed in the amendment, but with your permission, I'm happy to address the question.
Yeah, and we'll still have a chance to ask questions on the bill as amended as when we're done, but you can go ahead now.
So that, basically we're taking this out of the statute because, and you asked about the waiting list. The waiting list is what has been used in the past to determine whether or not you know, some coalitions get additional funds or not, whether or not they're reobligated or deobligated. And this, we're not doing anything to address waiting lists. There will continue to be waiting lists because we don't serve in any of our communities really 100% of the eligible population. So all communities, there's not enough money, frankly, to ever serve 100% of the eligible population. But this would ensure that, you know, many communities do other things to eliminate their waiting lists with community partners, and they're able to do that. But this does not do anything to address the use of waiting lists or the reduction of waiting lists.
And I'd remind everyone, most of the money to fund these programs is it's federal money. So they give us, and that's what we have to work with. Additional questions on the amendment? Okay. Seeing no additional questions on the amendment, there is no public testimony on the amendment. Is there any objection to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, show amendment barcode 510933 adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the amended bill? Okay, seeing none, we do have three people wishing to testify. We've got Michelle Watson with Florida's Alliance of Children's Councils and Trusts, Inc., waving in support. Megan Turetsky, Children's Services Council of Broward County, waving in support. And Edward Briggs with the Helios Education Foundation, waving in support. Members, is there anyone wishing to debate?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Williams, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand that we have been working on early learning coalitions and making possible for us to help those in need. But I'm concerned about a waiting list that we have here in Florida when we have so many needy children that's in need, so many families that's struggling. I'm wondering, and I'm thinking out loud, is there anything that this committee can do to eliminate some of those people that's on the waiting list? The bill did not address the waiting list, as you stated, but working on anything to assist children from pre-K to 12, I am very concerned and hoping that it's something that we can have an open mind to do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lupus, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not a huge fan of catfish, so I'd like to debate for a while. Is that all right?
There was meatloaf, too, just so you know.
I start, honestly, Chairman Fine, by thanking you for calendaring this bill and your support that you've shown over the last few years for early learning. Members, obviously this is an area that I care deeply about, and it's interesting in this space, there's this ongoing conversation between, it's sort of chicken or egg. Do we focus first on quality or do we focus on funding? And you'll hear battles about this all over the country. And I think what Florida has decided to do and rightly decided to do is say we're going to focus on quality first and then we're going to focus on funding. So last year we passed, through the leadership of Representative Grawl, HB 419, which was, as I said last year, the most transformational bill in early learning since the School Readiness Act. And what Representative Grawl is doing here is really beginning to look at how we actually fund our subsidized childcare. There's a serious challenge that we see in communities like mine where market rate is depressing the cost of reimbursements for care. And what Representative Grawl is seeking to do is really look at the cost of care, the cost of quality, as we look at how we invest in these programs. So really appreciate your leadership on it. And as always, I'll be up.
Anyone else wishing to debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Grawl, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, and I appreciate your consideration of this important policy. As Representative Lupus spoke a little bit about, quality first and then funding. That has been my focus. We need to understand those providers that are doing a good job before we can increase funding. Otherwise, we're just throwing good money after bad, and we're not going to see the results that we need to see with our children in these programs because there's such an ability to have a huge impact on a child's life from 0 to 5. The binder represents, this is this issue for 5+ years, trying to get, this is school readiness funding formula. This is What is the landing place that we have in order to get this funding right? And I know and I appreciate the thoughts of the waiting list, and the struggle in this policy area will always remain. Do we serve more, or do we serve the children that we are serving appropriately? Do we provide the services that they need to the children that are enlisted in the program? Because if we're not, we're just spreading the money out and we're not making the difference that we can in so many children's lives. And believe me, I struggle with that regularly. But early, when I got involved in early learning, it was a critical decision that you need to make, I think, and we all need to make as policymakers. If we are going to do something, you must do it well. If you don't, it's not going to work for anyone. And I believe that if we address the cost of care in early learning, we will be able to implement all of the quality programming and initiatives that we passed last year with integrity and fidelity, and we will see our children succeed even more when they enter kindergarten. So with that, I would ask for your favorable support.
Rep. Grawl, having closed on the bill, Adrian, please call the roll.
Chair Fahn?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bell?
Yes.
Representative Lupus?
Yes.
Andrade?
Yes.
Bartleman? Bush? Hawkins?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Willite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
With 13, the bill is favorable, sir.
Members, by your vote, HB 1199 as amended will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Last up, we're going to have HB 599, updates to education facilities as emergency shelters, by Rep. Casello. Rep. Casello, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Fine, members, and thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 599. Chair, there is an amendment on this. Would you like to hold that off to the end?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to explain your bill, and then we'll take any questions on it before we get to the amendment.
Thank you. Members, right now, 97% of emergency shelters are K through 12 schools, but only about 100 of them have solar storage systems. This is a problem. When a disaster strikes, our shelter should have the ability to keep the lights on. This bill simply waives the per student cap for investments under $2 million for upgrades necessary for an area to be designated as an enhanced hurricane protection area. Eligible upgrades include electrical and standby emergency power systems, renewable energy source devices, energy storage devices. Nothing is mandatory. These changes will be optional at the school district level. All costs associated with the upgrades must be consistent with the prevailing market cost. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you. Having spoken on the bill, members, are there any questions on the underlying bill before we get to the amendment? Okay, seeing none, there is one amendment to the bill. Rep. Casello, you are recognized to present amendment, barcode 786601.
Thank you, Chair. This amendment removes lines 34 to 38 that would have placed restrictions on how much energy an educational facility could generate. That is the amendment.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, there is no one who wishes to testify on the amendment. Is there any objection to the amendment? Showing none, show amendment 786601 adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none, we do have two people wishing to testify on the bill. Cody Rogers with the Clio Institute waves in support, and Andrew Palmer with Vote Solar waves in support. Members, is there any debate? Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair Fine. And Chair Casello, thank you very much for this thoughtful bill. Having been on school district and as a school board member and having to have experienced several different types of weather conditions in the Tampa Bay area we have used our shelters as our schools as shelters. This is a very thoughtful and good bill to bring forward to afford the schools to be able to upgrade their schools to continue to provide electricity for our schools in the time of need. So thank you very much for this bill. I'll be up on it. Thank you.
Ranking Member Wilhite, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative, so many of our schools are used as shelters, not to mention sometimes special needs shelters. And although that our electrical and your utility companies prioritize where power is to be back first before other areas, sometimes they just can't. And sometimes there's difficulties in getting it back quick enough. And so any opportunity we can get to make sure that these shelters where we tell people to go to be safe and be afforded protections from whatever kind of storm it is, we should make sure that there's always opportunities to make sure they're improved. Florida is called the Sunshine State for a reason. These buildings have nothing on their roofs. There's no reason that we shouldn't be using solar in any government-funded building and utilize that to save potential electrical costs or renewable energy. So I appreciate you working on this so hard, and I think it is only a truly an enhancement to our system and to as our state as we try and become independent of any kind of natural fossil fuels and utilize the Sunshine State to our benefit. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, seeing anyone else wishing to speak in debate? All right, seeing none, Rep. Costello, you are recognized to close on the bill.
We'll waive, Chair.
Thank you for that. Rep. Costello, having closed on the bill, Adrian, please call the roll.
Chair Fon?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bell?
Yes.
Representative Alupis?
Yes.
Andrade?
Yes.
Bertelman? Bush? Hawkins?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McClain?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Trunow?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Willite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
13 yeas, the bill favorable, sir.
All right, members, by your vote, HB 559, as amended, will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome. All right, thank you for waiving. Members, this concludes our meeting for today. I'm sure everyone's devastated that I do not have a presentation to give. I assure you at our next meeting, I will have more to say. We are scheduled to meet next Thursday, February 3rd, from 2 to 4. And for those of you who it is your last meeting, I do not expect it to be canceled. So we will be meeting. I'm seeing no further business before the subcommittee. Representative Hawkins moves. We rise without objection. The meeting is adjourned.